Welcome back to the Hardball Gets podcast, proudly brought to you by the brand new Mazda BT50. It's the complete package. Today, it's the return of the Monday Mad Scramble, and there's plenty to hammer through after an opening round that was as brutal as it was entertaining. So let's get straight into it. Well, there were fresh rules, fresh injuries, and not too many fresh faces left after a taxing round one, but how good to have the AFL back. My name's Chris Robinson, and joining me on the first Monday Mad Scramble of the year is a man who's been across all the action in his role with Seven. It is the guru, Mark Redding. Skate, thanks for joining us, mate.
Robbo, what a pleasure to be here to get the call up. The bench is obviously not that long that I don't get a run. It's fantastic that I've been able to fill in. But I'll tell you what, you mentioned all those changes as part of the new season. One thing has not altered one centimetre, and that is that when I put my footy tips in for round one, I go in with hope, expectation, mate, and maybe some optimism. Mate, I walk away from the weekend a bit like George Costanza, feeling inadequate, neurotic, and a complete loser. I got 4 out of 9. Essendon destroyed me with that last gasp loss to Hawthorne. But four, if that's a sign of what's to come in season 21 for me, then I'm in desperate trouble.
Well, I'm feeling a bit better about my five now. I was also on the Essendon as underdogs, blowing a 39-point halftime lead bandwagon. Also took GWS. Where was the other upset that you've taken that didn't come off?
Not so much upset, but I tipped Collingwood to beat the Western Bulldogs. Didn't happen. We know St Kilda GWS, great win by then, but look, most people are going to be around that 4 or 5 mark.
Yes.
But I thought I could start with an 8 or 9, but that just disappeared in a heartbeat.
Well, it was looking, you took Collingwood. It was looking pretty good there. I was 3 out of 3, and then we ran into whatever Adelaide Geelong was.
It was good to watch. And to be honest,
it was great to watch.
I was really happy with the level of footy, the standard of footy that I saw over the course of the weekend. The issues that I suppose were closely scrutinised were the new rules with the manning of the mark. Mm-hmm. And I was dead against it when the announcement was made. But having seen it in action, I'm actually warming to what the players have done. And they've adjusted pretty quickly. So I'm prepared to give that a tick and another look at seeing how that progresses. The medical sub rule, well, let's be honest, it was originally brought in my mind, to help alleviate players that were concussed. Now, that was the initial thought of the path they're going down. Well, on the weekend, to my knowledge, all the medical subs,
that's correct,
no one was concussed.
That's the funniest thing about it. I think there was only one guy across the whole course of the weekend who was ended up concussed, which was Jake Kelly, obviously, with Patrick Dangerfield, and Adelaide had already used their sub by that point. So the one guy who ended up getting concussed, we shouldn't laugh about it.
Yes.
But the way that the rule was, you know, as you said, designed initially, intended to, didn't end up getting utilised. I agree with you with the man on the mark. It was better than I thought it would be, other than hearing the word stand yelled out by umpires about 10 billion times. Across the board, definitely much more grunt, much more Mazda BT50 and less sort of more Ferrari than grunt, I should say. Average of about 22 fewer tackles per game.
That's interesting, wasn't it? And
which is a significant number across each game.
Yesterday's game at Optus Stadium, it was
34 to 39 or something.
Really low tackle count. Yep. But on the flip side to that, the Gold Coast Suns and West Coast playing a very much kick mark game, and in excess of 100 marks for the West Coast Eagles, and the Gold Coast Suns ticked over triple figures as well. But what we do know is once West Coast do get to 100 marks, they invariably win, and they did that yesterday.
Yeah. Let's start with that game. Let's start with West Coast because it's fresh in our minds. We were both there yesterday. They did have a few issues picking through Gold Coast zone, West Coast, but they got there in the end. Oscar Allen, the big story of the game, as far as headlines go on the front page of the pre-game, or the game, I should say, lift out in today's paper. 4 goals. Just really stood up and took the hype, didn't he?
Because absolutely.
Jack Darling, you know, he's going to be a little bit up and down. Josh Kennedy had barely no preseason. Allen was the headline act just about coming in for the first time. Absolutely delivered on the hype.
Yeah, career best haul of 4 goals for him. What I do like about him, he's just got a great set of hands. You know, when he's going for a mark, even in a contested situation, that he likes his chances to clunk it almost 7 times out of 10. So he's an exciting player. He is, in many ways, he's the future for the Eagles forward line, but also the present, given, as you said, Josh Kennedy working his way back. He's another year older, and who's to say what he can produce on the scoreboard this year. And Jack Darling, he's one of those players that the best of Jack's outstanding, but there are quite a few lulls in between. So Oscar Allen's emergence, he was pushed back a couple of times yesterday into defence to help out the tools of Jeremy McGovern and Tom Barris, but he's a natural forward from what we've seen in the AFL, and that's an exciting prospect for the Eagles because I think they're still vulnerable through the middle of the ground with no Yo, no Shuey.
Yep.
They lack a bit of pace for me. The other thing, they still aren't prone to using the corridor as other teams have done through the course of round one. So interesting to see how they go against a team like the Bulldogs who like to really hand pass, run, carry and take on the game. I'm a bit concerned about moving forward, about their leg speed and their ability to cover the ground.
Particularly, as you say, without Yo. I mean, we don't know what Yo's going to look like when he comes back. I think that's a really big watch point because we're so used to seeing how explosive he is, how good a tackler he is, all the rest of it. I'm not convinced that we're going to get that version of Elliot Yo when he comes back, certainly not straight away. Shuey should be a little bit better as far as his comeback goes. Just one point on Oscar Allen. I wasn't convinced pre-season that going West Coast going back to the two sort of rucks with Vardy coming back in as opposed to using Allen as that sort of pinch hitter second. I wasn't convinced that was the way to go. I think we saw why yesterday because obviously Simo and the rest of the Eagles coaches have gone, nah, this is why, because we can throw him forward and he can kick four. We can throw him back and he can plug a hole there when we need him to. We're just not going to use him in that second ruck role because he can be so better used elsewhere.
Absolutely. The only concern for the Eagles going forward with their opponents, depending who they are, is how tall they do go. When you think of Vardy, Natanui, Allen, Kennedy, Darling, just there are going to be times where it pays off big time for them. But I think there's a balance to be drawn there. And I don't think every time it's going to be a case that Vardy's a walk-up start. But as you say, the evidence was so compelling yesterday. And whenever Oscar Allen is inside forward 50 and the ball's heading his way, then you like his chances. And at the moment with Kennedy, as you say, and Darling, we know he was a perfect player to bob up yesterday when the Gold Coast thought, hang on, we've got Kennedy's measure. Darling hasn't been that instrumental. And then Oscar Allen started like a bomb and finished off with four.
Yeah, they probably did paper over a couple of cracks yesterday. I mean, the fact that they were down seven very early in that last quarter was a nervous moment for them. Vardy had virtually no impact up until that last mark that he took and then kicked the goal, which is his first goal since the last quarter of the grand final, incidentally. But only had one hit out for the day in that ruck support role. And then they've also got a big watch for the season, at least until Willie Rioli is available again, is that small forward puzzle. Zach Langdon sort of worked his way in a little bit. Jack Petricelli had zero impact. Jermaine Jones was left out. They've still got to figure out what they're doing there.
Yeah, well, Zach Langdon, 12 touches, a point next to his name.
He got better as it went along.
Yeah, it wasn't a horrendous debut for West Coast for him, but I think going forward, the club would like a little bit more out of him. Jack Petricelli, late in the piece, he got some touches, but gee whiz, there were some quiet moments for him. In fact, a lot of quiet moments for him.
First half, yeah.
And you just know that Adam Simpson will be demanding from him that forward pressure, which we know he's got the speed, but the question is if he's not getting his hands on the footy at all, it does leave the question mark, and we know Willie Rioli's a fair way off, but Zach Langdon is the small forward who's come across. Petricelli and he, you'd think, if there's one man going out of the boat this weekend to play the Bulldogs, it might be Petricelli just on that basis. But they're going to need some pace against the Bulldogs, I think. And that's where they'll try and persist with Petricelli because he's the guy that can get across the ground. He's just got to see some more of the footy.
Yeah, that Dogs midfield on Friday night, when you consider McRae, Bontempelli, Bailey Smith, Hunter, Dunkley, Liberatore, and then Treloar wasn't even at his best, obviously with plenty of emotion to play against Collingwood. So that's a pretty formidable opponent to come up against this week for West Coast. Mate, let's flick to Freo. A really tough Saturday for them to lose Alex Pearce, to then lose Joel Hamling, and then at the same time, Josh Tracy's kicking seven in a waffle scratch match. You'd almost, if you're Freo fans, you'd almost rather that he just kicked three or four or something. To kick seven and sort of underline the fact that, gee, we could have really used you today. That's a brutal Saturday for Freo fans.
It is. But let's be honest, Josh Tracy is a young player on the rise. It was a waffle practice match.
It is.
You want to be kicking six and seven to because puts your name up in lights for when you are available. I've got no issue with that. And they do need something. And that's always been the issue with Fremantle is the ability to score. And unfortunately, it was the case with Ross Lyon. And now Justin Lawmuir, he's so confident heading into this year that they had the players, the ball movement would be better. But really, at the end of the day, that was the same stuff dished up with regards to the scoring moments against the Demons. And let's be honest, Melbourne's not a side that I'm thinking is going to be a major factor in the finals this year. So to be beaten, and let's be honest, they've got eight of their best 22 out. That's a crisis, an injury crisis for Fremantle. And to try and paper over that, it's not easy at this level. If you're missing that number of quality players,
there's definitely a tipping point, isn't there?
There is, and I think Fremantle have definitely reached it. The problem is, if you go 0-2 against the Giants this week, history shows finals become
a long way
behind the pack, even though it's only two games in. So they need to somehow find a way to win this week. I agree with you. The injuries, they've swept the cupboard with regards to their fitness and conditioning over the off-season.
Yeah, but then how do you account for what happens to Alex Pearce? Like, I mean, Mark Duffy would write about this in this morning's paper. That's just one of those ones where you go, well, that's just a freak injury, right?
I mean, you might say that, but Alex Pearce, terrific player. I'm not sure he's going to play regularly for the rest of his career. I think he's going to be one of those players that finds a way for his body to let him down, which is awfully sad. He's a very good player. But how long will he and the club persist with each other? Obviously, they'll give him every possible chance after this injury, but it just seems he'll find a way to find trouble with his body.
So since his debut, he was drafted in 2013, didn't play in 2014, just form-wise, so we'll scratch that one. Since he debuted in 2015, he's played 54 games, and this is seventh season in that batch now. So that is not a good collection of numbers for Alex Pearce. Is it Heath Chapman time this weekend? He was an emergency. He didn't travel, but he was an emergency. Performed pretty well down back in that scratch match where Tracy kicked seven for Fremantle. Obviously, top draft pick, plenty of support behind him. Is it Heath Chapman time for a debut round two?
Well, they almost have their options limited to playing him. So it's almost a case of Justin Lawmuir backing in the kid, playing at home. I like the idea. I think bringing in someone like a Heath Chapman invigorates the whole group in my mind, but also it's out of necessity at the moment. So he would benefit for playing at home down back where he's showing a fair bit. I've seen a bit of him last year playing Colts for West Perth, believe it or not, and he has got that ability to push into the midfield as well. Maybe not initially at AFL level, find his feet, get behind the ball. But I think that the Dockers are at the point where they're going to have to call on some of these guys to give them reinforcement until they get some soldiers back.
Yeah. You'd like to think Sean Darcy will be there as well this weekend. I don't buy that there was any sort of ducks and drake stuff in terms of flying him over to Melbourne. I don't think that they would have done that just for fun and games.
I don't think he came up just full stop.
They gave every
possible chance.
I think that's exactly what it was. I think the fact that they flew him suggests that they intended for him to be a really good chance of playing. It just didn't come up and they went, no, we can't punt on you. But I don't think there was any sort of element of gamesmanship there. If he was in the mix for last Saturday, you'd like to think that he'll be fine for this weekend, which would obviously give them a boost to those big man stocks. Do you think the shorter preseason was a factor in some of those bad skills that we saw from Freo, or is that a Freo skills thing? I mean, we saw bad skills on and off across the weekend from a lot of players, goal kicking in particular. The Adam Chera skewed kick is obviously the highlight or the low light of this one, but I mean, particularly early on in that game, hand passes missing targets, hand passes at guys' feet. Is that just a round one shorter preseason thing, or is that Freo's just coming up and they're going to have games like that kind of thing?
They need to improve their skill level. I'm not buying the shorter preseason stuff because clubs like Melbourne and Fremantle, they had the same break essentially, given neither played finals footy. So I don't subscribe to that. I am leaning more towards thinking that Fremantle have to improve. And this has been the knock all along. And we've spoken to Mark Duffield about this. The skill level of the Dockers hasn't been good enough to play finals football. Simple as that. Hitting targets by hand, by foot. It just hasn't happened. And when they address that, when they get that right, then more success will come. But at the moment, there's still too many of those clangers. And you mentioned the Adam Chera a moment, which, you know, we can look back with a smile because we know he's a quality midfielder.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of great attributes and one of their better players.
Yep.
And you can cast your mind back to last year when he kicked that miraculous goal. I think it was against the Demons up at Cairns.
Yeah,
in the boundary.
Yep.
And it was an outstanding goal. So we know he's got the ability.
Sure.
But you're right. They need to reduce the clangers, need to get their skills right. Otherwise, the season can slip away so quickly, and that's unfortunately where they sit at the moment. And there's so many sides. I think GWS in the same basket as Fremantle with regards to playing finals. They're a possible, probably, maybe not, but they're a 50-50 chance at this stage to be pressing for a spot in the end. I think the Dockers are in the same spot, but they need to get some bodies back in a hurry.
Absolutely. A couple of big talking points across the league on the weekend. One of them we saw yesterday afternoon, Matt Rowe going down. You would have called that in the first quarter on radio. How tough was that to watch? How tough was that to watch him in the rooms and then coming up along the sideline? I mean, we know how good he is. He also just seems like such a good young kid. And you kind of just wish that he will have a break, right?
Yeah, well, Stuart Dew in the post-match press conference was so glowing in his praise with the way that he could have, this is Matt Rowe, just dropped the lip, sat in the change rooms, sat away from the group, but he made himself involved, came out at the three-quarter time huddle
class
to show the teammates that he was invested in what was happening out there. A lovely touch from Luke Shuey to go and console him. Adam Simpson spoke. Not too many players at that age have opposition coaches talking about them and wishing them a speedy recovery. It just shows you the quality of the young man. I haven't met him. Haven't interviewed him, but he's got universally loved. And Stuart Dew said, I've never seen a player, this is a big call, never seen a player love footy more than Matt Rowe.
I saw that quote. That is a big call. Stuart Dew's been around football.
Yeah. So that was, you know, again, waiting for scans to come back. If it's ACL, that's anterior cruciate ligament. If that's the case, then it's not great news. But let's hope it's more medial, or I think it's posterior potentially that they're looking at, which means not the end of the season, maybe a couple of months sideline, but it's not great for him or the competition. Everyone wants the Gold Coast Suns to do well. I think they're our second favourite side, aren't they? If they can get some success.
But Josh's favourite, our producer extraordinaire, Josh Garlop here, is nodding in approval at his favourite side.
Why wouldn't you love the Gold Coast Suns? They're like that sort of that little kid in the corner that hasn't been able to, you know, get hold of the lollies or the swings, and they've been kept out of everything. And now we just want them to grow up. And
I feel like we felt this way about GWS as well, though, and then they grew up too fast. And they became big and trash and made that grand final
and answer back
before their time.
Absolutely. Yeah. But the Giants, it's a good question now. Which club is closer to a premiership, the Giants or the Suns? You'd probably still say the Giants.
Probably.
But gee whiz, that margin, which was so vast a couple of years ago, it's become a lot less obvious.
Yeah, very much so. That is a really good debate, actually. We should have that some other time. Patrick Dangerfield, we'll get to quickly. Careless, severe, and high. This is another one of those ones. If you choose to bump and the guy that you bump goes off concussed, you're going to get weeks. We're going to find out whether it's going to be 3-4. Eagles fans will be rooting for 5 because they have Geelong in round 6, which has just peered ahead in the fixture. I don't think we're quite going to get 5.
No.
Is 3 or 4 about right for you?
Well, you can't go to the tribunal or your case be sent to the tribunal and get 2 weeks in my mind.
Yep.
So I think it's going to be 3 as the most likely. Anything above that, I wonder whether the Cats would start heading towards an appeal process. But look, I do feel sorry for Patrick Dangerfield in this, and I know he chose to bump. I know the rules are there. There was no malice in my mind to try to knock out Kelly. There was no intent to strike him in the head himself. So I do get that there was an element of misfortune with it. It was an accident. But as you rightly pointed out, the rules are in place. And just because he's a big name, and that's what a lot of people are looking at now, surely the AFL has to make a stance. And essentially the AFL is saying, if you choose to bump, good luck. We want you to tackle.
It's on you, basically.
We want you to tackle. And we all go back to that case at Subiaco Oval when Nat Fyfe was penalised. I think 2 weeks was the penalty back then for the head clash. It doesn't sit well with me the way that happened, given there was no intent to cause the damage he did, because accidents do happen in footy. I had this discussion yesterday with Glenn Jakovich and Carl Langdon, and there are some footy people that say, look, yeah, accidents are part of the game. But given what the AFL is so stringent on with head contact, this and the action of going to the tribunal, it sense that it's a bit of a spell for Paddy.
Were the Cats your biggest loser of the weekend. I mean, they probably were for me. There's a few in this category. Essendon blowing the lead. Brisbane up at home against Sydney. I just picked Geelong here. I mean, they have such high expectations. They're probably second premiership favourites coming in. I didn't quite check the odds before round one, but I would have thought they'd be on the first line of betting after Richmond. And then to go into that game against an Adelaide side that was barely able to muster a win late last season, and then lose. They lost Jeremy Cameron a few days before the game.
Yep.
To potentially lose Danger now for three or four. Sam Menegola did a shoulder as well. That's three of their best probably eight or nine players. Were they your biggest loser of the weekend?
They would be in the grand final. Brisbane, I was very disappointed with what they dished up. I think it was three goals to zip, essentially, against the Swans. And well done to Logan McDonald, three goals on debut. And we all are riding his coattails after what he did in the Waffle.
Definitely.
So well done to Logan. Yeah, Brisbane up there. And I think what I saw from Friday night footy, Collingwood could be in for a really tough year. Mm. Darcy Moore was outstanding. They've got a fairly good defensive unit, but I've got concerns about them kicking a score. So Collingwood, who did play finals last year, at this point I see them as being a slider just after round one. It could be a tough 2021 for Bucks in his last year under contract, and it could be his last year as coach on the evidence I've seen, albeit just four quarters of footy.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, their forward line is getting a lot of press in terms of who they've lost from there, but their midfield, I mean, that midfield was so stacked when you think back to the 2018 grand final. They've lost Treloar, side bottoms out indefinitely. Dane Beams was thereabouts but isn't anymore. There's so much falling on the shoulders of Scott Pendlebury, who is, well, not long for the AFL, sure. I mean, he's still got, you know, it's not going to be his last season, but you'd like to think that he's not doing that degree of heavy lifting at this stage in his career, but it seems like that's what it might be.
Absolutely. So you talk about the biggest loser in that sense. For me, and only because I've put them as my premiership favourites and the team that can win the flag, albeit they were up against a side yesterday that are regarded as probably wooden spoon favourites, or would be clear wooden spoon favourites at the moment, Port Adelaide have got that strut about them. They've got that look about them this year, early days, but they just look like a team that is intent on making an early statement in this competition, and I think they can cause some real damage. They've sat at the top of the ladder for most of last year from memory, and they're back where they finished essentially home and away season last year, percentage of 180. They are the team that, for me, is just looking cherry ripe. They're over here in Perth in a couple of weeks against the West Coast Eagles.
Yeah, that'll be
that's going to be a massive game for both clubs.
Yeah. Couple of big ticks for their recruits yesterday. Oratio Fantasia kicked four.
4-4, I think it was.
4-4, could have had 6 or 7. And Alira as well, who's had a really good preseason, taking that form into yesterday. The big winner, you touched on it, let's talk about Sydney, because Logan McDonald was just one of their kids who really stepped up and enabled them to stun Brisbane, up in Brisbane no less. Errol Goulden, 19 touches and 3 goals. He's got a silky left foot. Braden Campbell did some nice things. Chad Warner, another WA boy. Not his first season, but stepping up into that best 22. And a shout out for Tom Hickey as well, who had 9 clearances, was one of the best rucks. I'm looking at Xavier Ellis's team of the weekend. Did he have him? Yep, Tom Hickey as his lead ruckman was terrific. That's a great story. Getting squeezed out just about at West Coast, no longer part of their best 22, going to Sydney and just absolutely dominating up there against Brisbane. The Swans were good, right? And
Absolutely.
They've got a decent goal kicker coming back potentially for round two called Lance Franklin as well.
Imagine Logan McDonald, how excited he'll be when he sits down to put on his boots against the Adelaide Crows this weekend, and number 23 just sidles up next to him. It must be a dream come true for a bloke like Logan McDonald. But you're right.
Might lose a little bit of space in that forward line.
True, but do you defer to Buddy? But I tell you what, this young man is the heir apparent in terms of replacing him at the Sydney Swans. Callum Mills, you mentioned Tom Hickey, and Golden under Xavier's team of the week has made the cup, which
deserves it. Yeah,
and so
terrific.
That's John Longmire has done. He's fooled the football world essentially over the off season, because not too many people had them winning in Brisbane. Not too many people thought they would be better than the last year, but you're right, their young players have certainly given us something. And 19 goals in round one, Adelaide to come. Now, this Sydney side, there's a bit of excitement about them. They've certainly have gone under the radar in Sydney at the moment. The radar is showing a lot of rain, but they have gone very much under the football radar and are finding themselves some of these young players. The Horse, he's come up with a beautiful batch of young players that might do something pretty significant this year, which will surprise a lot of people. They definitely could be the mover.
Definitely. Very good sneaky weather reference from you there.
That
almost went past me, and then I sort of doubled back on
just
it.
Just try to find something a little bit outside the square for you, Robbo.
So not to get too carried away with Sydney, but amongst their next five,
yes,
is this bunch. Adelaide at home, Essendon at home, GWS at home, and Gold Coast potentially without Matt Rowe. That's among their next five. Could they be 5-1 and sitting top two after six rounds?
They could be 6-0. Why couldn't they be?
The other one was against someone hard. I left the one hard one out. Okay. I can't remember who it is off the top of my head. But those four there.
Winnable.
All probably start favouring all four of them, given what we saw in round one.
Yep. Oh, well, I'll be tipping them against the Crows this week. But having said that, the Crows, they will. I mean, this sounds really strange. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to talk about betting on this podcast. But
of course.
I liked Adelaide at the line of 27.5. I thought they would be competitive at home.
Yep.
I thought Geelong coming off the grand final, later start, and you talked about pre-season. So I think Adelaide will be an improver. Don't know if they'll make the eight, but they're going to be hard to beat. This is the other thing. Last year, no crowds, essentially, at a lot of these venues. The Adelaide Oval becomes
19th man.
A tougher place to play footy. Optus Stadium, we know that.
Mm.
The MCG for teams. So I think the crowd, that's the other thing I loved about the fact that
it was good, wasn't it?
There was that investment from crowds, and I think teams certainly rise to that occasion. Adelaide, for mine, it was worth 3 or 4 goals to them on the weekend, just having the crowd there with them. Mm. And the Cats were a bit down, but the Adelaide Crows, I think, will find they'll win. I'm tipping minimum, I think, 6 games they can win.
Okay. That one absolutely floored me. And to the extent where in the sport department here at the West, we just set up a last man standing tipping competition, just pick one team.
And you're gone.
Absolutely Gornski. Didn't even think about it. Give me Geelong.
There'd be a few in that same boat, I'd imagine.
There are a few Geelongs and there are a few Brisbans and they're all gone. I didn't even think about it. I was like, okay, Geelong, probably my premiership pick. Adelaide, as I said, literally struggled to sing the song last year and got done.
Yeah, so they did finish their campaign in reasonable form. And you know what's going to happen here? The Cats, if they fall in a bit of a hole, it's because they're too old. If they go well, it's because they've got the experience. You know what it's like. Chris Scott said that.
Definitely. It is a very, very fine line. Skeet, before we get out of here, let's do a little segment we like to call Over Under.
Over? Nah. Under.
So I throw a line at you and you tell me whether it's going to come in over or under. So this one, we're going to the medical sub first. So there were 8 players subbed out across the, 18 teams,
mm-hmm,
obviously, in round one. 8 players subbed out. I want you to tell me the line is 0.5 subbed out players from round one featuring in round two. So basically, will any of the guys who got subbed out in the opening round back up and come back for round two? What are you going with? 0.5 over, more than that, or 0?
I'm always an overs man when it comes to having a little fight.
I
think one of those 8 players, there's a couple of serious injuries.
There's a few in the mix. So we'll rule out Matt Rowe with the knee, Alex Pearce with the knee. I think we can rule both of those guys out. And then the rest of them, Jack Silvani with the shoulder.
Gone, I think. I think he's in trouble.
Okay, Nick Vlossen with a knee is a chance.
He's a sneaky chance. Yep.
I think even in the presser, straight after the game, Damien Hart was like, "Yeah, we're hopefully we'll get up for next week." It's like, isn't that not what the reason rules meant to be there?
So yes.
And then the rest of them, Luke Brown at Adelaide with the Achilles, Sam Menegola, I should say, with the shoulder, as I mentioned earlier, Riley Bonner with a string at Port, and Aiden Corr with a foot at GWS. So you think we'll see one of those guys?
See, now you've gone through the injuries. I'm not so certain, but I'm going to stick to my initial thought of we're going over 0.5.
And how stringent will the please explain be from the AFL when that team gets named?
Well, you know,
they'd have to go through a decent process to get that ticked off, wouldn't they,
well,
for this weekend?
The AFL, they can do what they want, but they've put this rule in place and they've given the coaches and clubs
an out to
go and find a pathway. And let's be honest, you're not going to take off Nick Vlossen off the ground in a season opening game if he's not injured to some degree, because he's a gun, he's a star in my mind. So there's no tactics there, but whether the recovery matches the rule that has been designed for it, it does leave so many areas of exploitation.
I just don't understand why we didn't just go blanket. You can sub your guy off for whatever reason you want, but he misses 12 days.
Yep.
That's it. Easy blanket rule. And it doesn't have to be if a guy gets injured, he misses 12 days. It's like if a guy gets injured and you think he might be a chance for next week, put him on the bench by all means, but just don't sub him out.
Yeah.
You're just playing one short like we used to.
Yes.
I just don't understand what that just takes out any, if you're not sure about this guy, don't sub him out.
And because it's going to create in particularly media circles, social media circles, so much
grey area.
So much grey area, but also, the sniping of different clubs and players and this sort of conspiracy theory, which some might prove correct, but that there's certainly, I think the AFL, if they had their time again, that is an element I think they could tweak to maybe put that to bed.
Definitely. Okay, I'll take the under to go against you there. Conspiracy theory corner, of those subs, of those eight subs, five of them came in the first four games of the round leading into the Saturday night, and then there was only three in the last five rounds. Do you think there was just a little bit of a directive of, hey, guys, you can't be using this rule just willy-nilly. You need to be sure about this is a real, 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 real injury.
You think Steve Hocking is just
that's just a conspiracy corner thing that I'm tossing out there? Do you think there's anything in that or zero?
No, I disagree with that. Okay. I don't think that the AFL has gone and maybe had a whisper in clubs' ears about what they should and shouldn't be doing with the subs. If they're doing it through the middle of round one, we're in massive trouble because that's right. No, I've got no conspiracy on that
okay,
one.
Okay, that's the under for that one. The other over-under, 39.5 points as the biggest halftime margin comeback of the year, i.e., will anyone top Essendon's massive choke job from Saturday night? Will a team lose by a bigger margin than that with a lead at halftime this year?
Let me preface this by saying if there is a team that does get beaten from that position,
it'll be Essendon again.
You can be guaranteed I'll have tipped them and backed them and get absolutely slaughtered sitting in my lounge room watching Essendon cough it up. I'd actually turned it over to Brisbane and Sydney. Just say, okay, we'll keep an eye on this
goodness.
One.
I was feeling so good about that tip. I mean, they were underdogs by letter of the law. It was only marginal. It was $2 to $1.82 or something like that. But you're feeling good about that tip as a first genuine 50-50 tip of the year. Like, okay, good halftime. I've nailed that one. I've ticked that one off. Good start to the tipping year. And then sort of halfway through the third quarter, sort of getting ready to go out on a Saturday night, like, oh, really? Am I going to have to watch the end of this? Are we doing this?
And you can almost see what's happening in the last quarter. Yes. And full credit to Alistair Clarkson. The Hawks, I still have my reservations as to what they can do this year.
Definitely.
But that said more about what Essendon is about than what Hawthorn is in many ways. And we know that the Bombers, let's be honest, for a fair majority of that match, they were terrific. So there's something to work on. They're coming off a low base, but look, it was a good game of footy because there was a kick in it, which was fantastic for all concerned, apart from those that followed the Bombers. And we've got a few in the office who do that as well. So,
and they've been tortured for the 17 years and counting that they haven't won a final four. Skeet, we'll let you get out of here, mate. Thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure, Robbo, and let's hope we do it again.
We will do it again.
We love talking
you're
footy.
As always. I feel a bit strange being the host to the host extraordinaire, but it's been fun.
Mate, I was just enjoy sitting back and just chewing the fat. Footy, it's back, round one, and we the good thing about it, we've got, 3 days before we get into Thursday night footy?
That's right.
Can't wait.
Yeah, love the short breaks. Thanks also to our good friends at Mazda and the Mazda BT50. It is the complete package. We'll chat to you next Monday for more of the scramble. In the meantime, don't miss the 2-minute warning with Xavier, Rhino and Rini this Thursday. Enjoy your week and we'll see you then.